My name is Jamie Atkinson, founder of podcastclosing.com, and this show is built for 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs with podcasts who are looking to grow and scale their customer acquisition using that show. If you're a 6 or 7 figure entrepreneur with a podcast and you want to get featured on this show to talk about your own podcast journey, go to top100interview.com. Now over to your glamorous host, Brittany Chaterbuck, and don't forget to subscribe for daily interview content.
Hey, now let's talk about how romantic relationships can either help or hurt a career or business. This is a topic we don't cover often enough, and I think it's super crucial to talk about. So I'm going to give you the stage. You are the expert in this area. Let's dive in.
Great. I love this topic because I think it's so important to be able to balance. And we hear that word a lot in society now, is how to balance career and relationship. And something I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think that the relationship always needs to be the winner. And when the relationship is the winner, it's naturally going to flow into the career success.
Wow. Can you elaborate and dive even deeper into that?
Yeah. So things like, let's say, time management. So if you're sharing your life, with your spouse, right? Maybe you're getting really serious about, getting married, then that means you're going to coordinate your schedules and commitments, right? Which is going to help you each to thrive, especially if you're doing it as a team and one person doesn't feel like they're being left behind. And I think something that's even more important than that is emotional support. So it's one of the most significant advantages of being in a relationship is that emotional support that it provides. So if you have a loving partner, they can be a source for you of encouragement, comfort, and even a sounding board for your career aspirations. And then that can lead you to feeling more motivated and to have more resilience. And I know my husband does that for me. He's retired from his career of almost 30 years as a probation officer. And even though he's not in the therapy world per se, he knows enough about what I do that I can bounce all ideas off of him. And he helps me to stay motivated and to get excited about things.
Wow. So how did you know your husband was the one to marry and stuff, especially being, deep into your career and you have a career where you help others do the same thing and notice the red flags and think about those before marrying who it is that they're in love with. Now let's talk about how to know this is the right person, especially for entrepreneurs out there or, career driven people. It's like you said, it's very important to know who you're marrying. They can either, maybe be an anchor or they can really be that support system that you need that can actually enhance and increase your success along the way. So what are these red flags to look for? And maybe what are the great things you've seen in your husband that you can use as an example?
Okay, I love this. So David, I wish he was here right now because he'd just be smiling at me, his cute little smile right now. So he's very, very precious. He's my greatest cheerleader. And I was still a secondary teacher when David and I met and married. And then he supported me in becoming a therapist and returning to grad school while still teaching full time. So he drove, I have a son from a previous marriage, and he drove our son back and forth to his school. He did a lot of the cooking and cleaning and those sort of things. So you want someone who's going to be your greatest cheerleader, who's not going to be jealous. So jealousy is a red flag, and it's a red flag in two ways in relationships. So if the person is jealous of you because, you go to the grocery store and they go, why were you gone for so long? You're like, 20 minutes, I got milk, bread, and eggs, and there was a long line. Who were you talking to? That kind of jealousy. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, I didn't look at anyone. I literally went in and got my stuff and left. That is a sign that you're headed towards an abusive relationship because they're testing the waters and they're saying something that simply isn't true. That's a red flag. And I would run like the wind away from that person. The other type of jealousy would be jealous of like you being in the spotlight. So because I am a public speaker, I'm in the spotlight, and at the marriage retreats that I lead, my husband helps me, but he helps as in a support role because that's how God created him, is he has a beautiful servant's heart. So when I gave the first marriage retreat, I'm not looking at him until I take a break. I'm looking at my audience. And what people said to me later, and I was like, oh my gosh, how beautiful. So they said, Dana, we loved watching David watch you. Isn't that precious? Right?
That is, so you want that the, is yes. gold.
It's just so beautiful. So someone who's going to champion you, even if they don't understand. So like, let's say that, you know, I have a friend who's like, I do have a girlfriend who's in technology. I don't get what she does, but yet I can still support her in her role, even though my brain does not comprehend all the technology that she understands, but I'm still one of her biggest supporters and help her during stressful times and keep her motivated.
This is huge. Now, you had mentioned, and I don't know if you're open to being vulnerable or anything like that. Sure. What was it like for you in the first marriage? Was it opposite? Did you learn a lot from that? And that's kind of what led you to what you're doing today, or how did that work?
Yes. Well, when it's pretty common knowledge that when a person comes from a family where there's a lot of, it's not clinical terminology to say toxic, but we all know what that means, right? Toxic, mm-hmm. You know, just not healthy. And so when a person comes from that kind of a background, that's their comfort zone, not because they're like, oh, this feels great. It's because they recognize this is familiar to me. I know how to do this unhealthy, sick dance, but they don't realize at the time it's unhealthy and sick. So it makes sense that I married someone who was abusive, who did show me a sign of jealousy up front, and I didn't get it. And this is one of the things that I want to help young women and young men with, especially because that's the ones I hear it from, is they'll be in a dating relationship and maybe they're even engaged, and they'll tell me something that their partner did that was simply outrageous. And I'll say, well, what happened? And I want to do like air quotes right now, because they say, okay, we worked through it. I've learned now to not accept that at face value. Because when I ask, what do you mean you worked through it? They'll look at me quizzically and they'll go, we worked through it. And they just repeat themselves. I'm like, okay, he did or she did horrible thing. Okay, they did this action. Then what did you say and what did they say and what did you do and what did they do? And most of the time, they will meander down bunny trails. They'll say a lot of words that don't have any depths to them about, well, you know, we did blah, blah, and then we did a little blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, but you're saying you worked through it. I'm not hearing anything that tells me how you worked through it would be, I sat him or her down. I let them know that is a boundary line that cannot be crossed. If it's crossed again, here's what will happen. Their world will change forevermore. And what they mean by we worked through it is, time passed, I cried, he said or she said, I'm sorry, but actually didn't change their behavior. And then we went and got pizza, and then it was the next day. That's what they mean.
That is so funny you say that, because, you know, there's a difference between saying sorry and meaning it and having empty apologies. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a huge thing that I see all the time. I don't know if you work with a ton of people doing the same thing, where they're like, well, they're sorry. You know, it didn't happen again until it happens again.
Until it happens again. And that's what, you know, in working with couples sometimes, because I tell them like, I tell them that I don't see you or your spouse as my client. I see the marriage as my client. That's who I'm really working for here. So sometimes the wife's going to be real happy with me. Sometimes the husband's going to be real happy. And sometimes they're both not going to be real thrilled with me, because I'm going to speak some really tough truths. And one of my favorite quotes is, an ugly truth is better than a beautiful lie. And I'll point that out when one of them, again, has done something simply outrageous, said, you know, horrible, vulgar things to their spouse. And then they'll say, I'm like, okay, well, turn to your spouse now and apologize, because I want to see how they apologize. And what I'll get a lot of times is, I'm sorry that you felt that way, like felt upset or sad or hurt or whatever. Okay, but they didn't, like, it didn't fall out of a tree, and that's why they feel that way. You had actions that caused them to be hurt and wounded. So it's very different. And I'll have people say to me sometimes, what's the difference? But it's normally not the victim. It's normally the one, the perpetrator, who says, I don't see the difference. I'm sorry either way. No, you need to be, I'm sorry, I did X and such that caused you to feel X and such. They have to own their stuff.
They have to own it and make the changes. This is huge. Now, for you, was there a point in your first marriage or with your first relationship with your son's father that you had mentioned, hey, I want to do this and that with a business. I want to start working with people. You know, I know you mentioned you were a teacher. Did he support that or?
No, it was always, it was, and this is what a lot of abusers will do. They'll say yes to something up front because they know at the moment they need to say it because it's reasonable. And if they say no to it, just about everyone on earth would be like, hey, you're being a jerk about that. So they'll give it, you know, they'll mouth yes. Then later, when you say, hey, I'm going to go do so and so because that's what we agreed to, I never said that. That never happened. And that's a typical gaslighting technique that narcissists use, or someone who maybe has a toe in narcissism, because I know we throw that word around a lot. Not, you know, it's rare that someone has classic narcissistic personality disorder. And even as a licensed professional counselor, I can give a diagnostic impression, but I do not diagnose. It would take someone going through a battery of tests to know. But even if they have a toe in narcissism, if you have someone in your life that you know something happened, they agree to it, and then they back out of it, acting like it never happened, that's different than them changing their mind.
Wow. So what if someone was like, you know, honest with you and they did something wrong? They're like, yeah, I didn't want to lie to you. I did this wrong. I did this and I know it would upset you. I did this wrong, but I want to be honest with you. And then you bring it and okay, you accept it, whatever. And then say 2 days later, they're like, that never happened. That never happened. I have no idea what you're talking about. Gaslighting. What is that considered a narcissist? I mean, I like you said, you probably can't diagnose it, but is that like the assumption of what a narcissist is?
Yes, that's one of the hallmarks of them. So it's, and it's not just because they want to get out of trouble in the moment. They enjoy creating trouble. Where if you and I caused upset with someone, we're going to feel bad, especially if it was our fault, right? We're going to be like, or partially our fault, we're going to feel bad. They don't, in on the outside, they act outraged or nonplussed. But on the inside, I always picture them clapping their hands gleefully. Yay, yay, me, look, because they enjoy getting us upset and then they enjoy raining on our parade. So the reason why they gaslight is to make us doubt our reality. Because if we had a talk about X and such, and I remember the details of it, we were where we were sitting, what I was wearing, what we were eating. I remember what the weather was like. I remember your mother called during it. I remember that, and that person says to you, that never happened. What's the first thing a quote unquote normal person will do? You start to go back to your mind. Was it a dream? Did I think that? Did I see it in a show and think I was like, maybe as a kid, you asked your parents, did we go to Disneyland or not? Or was that a dream? No, baby, your cousins went and you asked us to go. Oh, I couldn't remember. Maybe in your head, you fantasized about going. And so when you got older, you're like, did we do that when we were little? And your parents clarified, no, baby, we never did that. Okay. So you start to doubt yourself so that when they do stuff in front of your face that is so outrageous and inappropriate and horrible, and when you say, I can't believe you just did that, they'll go, what? I didn't do anything. And it's because they want to create doubt in you and they want you to doubt your own sanity. So you'll go along with that, whatever lies they're going to tell you next.
Right. Wow. This is so powerful. Now, for anyone listening today that, you know, is in a, you know, or very passionate about their career, really want to grow to a level to inspire others. You know, maybe they're starting a business or they have a business and that is a lot of stress. It can be a roller coaster, right? And they don't have a supportive partner. What is your biggest takeaway for them?
Is to find your cheerleaders, find your tribe is a fun word that's been, you know, used in the last few years. Who are the people that are your go-to? So if you know, I can call my mother-in-law and she's like, atta girl, I'm so proud of you, then call her. If you have a, let's say, a brother-in-law and he rains on your parade, then he's not one of your cheerleaders. And so it doesn't make sense to go to an empty, dry well. You will not receive water. So find your people. And some people may compliment you on maybe you're pulling together professional look. Okay, maybe they're for that. Maybe these people can handle how you've updated your resume and they're because they get it. So you can have different people at different levels, but find people who love and support and encourage you and want your good, because that's one of the biggest things in marriage. Does your partner, does your spouse want your good? What is good for you? Or are they the one getting in the way of your good? Because they can say all day long, but I love you, but not if they don't show it. And if they really love you, they would support you.
This is huge. Now, what would you suggest to anyone out there listening that, you know, have a partner who says they love you, they want to help you, that this and that, but it's more of a controlling aspect, you know? How do you see the difference between whether, yeah, they love you, they want to help you, or if it's coming from a place of control? Because sometimes that can be hard to see.
Yes, it can be. So I think a good way to see if the person's controlling is change a detail. So there's a wonderful book. If I had an affiliate program with this life coach, I probably would have made $1 million by now. I've recommended this book so many times. It's called Loving Fearlessly. Fearless Loving. I had it backwards. Fearless Loving by Rhonda Britton. And Britten. Now, the book may be a little dated just because it may refer to like technology of the time, but the message is really so wonderful. And one of her ideas, and I think it fits with what you're asking, is if you have, let's say you've set up a date with someone, okay, 7 p.m. on Saturday night, we're going for Italian food. Change one detail she suggests before. Hey, I'm going to be running a little late. I can't do 7:15 tomorrow or 7, but I can do 7:15. Or, you know, we had Italian for lunch today, so I'd love to do something other than Italian tomorrow. If a man wants to be with you or a woman wants to be with you, they won't care if you want to go to a hot dog stand in front of, you know, a business. They just want to be with you. If they get angry and push back, you already have a warning sign. They're controlling. So I think it applies, that idea applies to what you were saying. So if I said to my husband, for example, hey, this is where I want to put my therapy couch. And if he says, honey, what about this other wall? No, I don't think so. That's not where I want it. Does he get angry? Does he huff and puff and stomp away and have a temper tantrum? And now he doesn't want to go to dinner and a movie anymore. So it's if they get angry, if you don't follow their advice, because advice doesn't mean it's not a contract. So somebody could tell me, Dana, here are 14 different shades of paint. You could paint this room. I may pick one of those, or I may pick something different. So I really think it's about how do they respond. So that's a good test to do up front.
Wow, this is huge. Respond. How do they respond? And to keep, I mean, I think a lot of us put a blind eye to a lot of responses, right? Because, you know, a lot of people look at it, well, he doesn't beat me. He doesn't beat me up. He does nice things for me. Maybe he's the main provider, you know. But that's not everything. It doesn't mean you're not being manipulated still, right?
Absolutely. And that's the other thing. Like when I mentioned earlier, the idea that whenever I hear someone say we work through it, I think, oh my gosh, okay, I know where we're headed. Also, I know where we're headed when, just like you were saying, somebody says, you know, like they'll do something that's, again, not in your face abusive, but it's still manipulative. And I'll say, wow, that sounded very manipulative, what you just told me. And it sounds like your partner or your spouse is emotionally blackmailing you to bend to their will. And this is what a lot of times people will come back when there's a lot of codependence. They'll say, but he or she is like a good man or a good woman. And I say, okay, so this is my example. I'll say, like, let's pretend a woman is dating, okay? And she's telling me about this person, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, like, this is not a good idea to be dating this person. I'll say, so if I were a matchmaker and you paid me $10,000 and I put the information, what you wanted, tall, blonde, brown eyes, whatever you want, okay, I put it in my computer program, personality traits that you want, and you come back to me and I say, okay, here's the folder. I have someone mine for you. And they kind of smile at me like, okay, this will be fun, but it's not fun. And I'll say, and I'll point out the very qualities that they just told me factually with stories that the person they're dating is doing towards them. So I found someone for you. They are tall, dark, and have brown eyes, and they're manipulative. They have emotional temper tantrums. They're jealous of you. They stonewall you and act like you don't exist for days when you don't obey them. They're highly defensive. And I'll go through the list and I'll say, would you be happy with me? Or would you fire me and go write a really bad Yelp review about me and get a refund? Yeah, I'd fire you.
Yeah.
That's right. But you're doing it to you. No one else is doing it. You're doing it to you. Because I wish people had told me up front things that they saw in my ex that they didn't tell me about until after the divorce. And I'm like, wait, what? You saw what? I'm thinking, hopefully, that with what I saw, the jealousy, with things that people told me, maybe that would have been enough to keep me away. But you know what? If I didn't marry that man, I wouldn't have my son, and I would crawl across broken glass on my knees to have my son.
This is huge. This is huge. Like, you know, it all comes down to ourselves. We need to pay attention to these red flags, right?
Yes.
Because we can't count on others to do it for us, unfortunately.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So, Dana, this has been absolutely amazing. I wish we had longer, but I want to give you the next minute or so here to just any bits and pieces you'd like to share with my listeners that we didn't have a chance to cover. Now is your time. And then, of course, anything coming up and the best way to connect with you, please share that as well.
Okay, awesome. So I just want to share that I'm very pro-marriage, and obviously marrying well, right? Really being thoughtful about it, noticing the green flags. It doesn't mean like thumbs up, you should marry this person, but those are good signs. Or the yellow flags, we need to talk about this. And if we can truly work through it in a way where we're both very satisfied, then that can become a green flag. And then the red flags means you need to get away. You don't need a fixer-upper. Like, that is not a healthy mindset of a spouse, because people don't change after they're married. And I'm also pro-marriage from a faith perspective, but also because married individuals tend to live longer than their single counterparts. And it, you know, there's still research out there on this that they're looking into, but it looks like it's due to the emotional and social support that a spouse provides. And then it also reduces stress and improves overall well-being. People even heal better after surgeries if they're married, because they have someone hopefully loving who's taking care of them, like my David. And people even have a lower incidences of chronic diseases. So I think that's some pretty cool stuff about being married there. And for me, if people want to reach out to me, I only see clients in Texas. And so if someone wants to be one of my therapy clients, they can find me at ChristianComfortCounseling.com. But I do speaking engagements and marriage retreats with my husband across the country. Would love to go international with that too. And for my public speaking, they can find me at DanaNygaard.com, DanaNygaard.com.
Incredible. Dana, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing something that we really need to look into, especially if we're trying to, you know, have a passion-filled future and, you know, a fulfilled one as well in career, in entrepreneurship, as a family, all of that. So I'm glad we covered this topic, because we don't cover it enough.
Thanks. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed talking with you.
So did I. Thank you so much, Dana. Group, if you're listening and enjoyed, please like and subscribe. If you're 6 to 9-figure entrepreneur and want to come on the show, just like Dana did today, to talk about something unique that you know, help people solve, please go to www.podcastrebels.com. Thanks, guys. Catch you on the next one.
Hey everyone, I hope you really enjoyed that episode. As always, if you want to listen to more daily interview content, make sure you subscribe. And here's 3 ways I can help you in your business for free. 1, check out my video on how we're building a pipeline that produces 30 plus prime sales calls every single week using podcast setters and a basic interview funnel. And this is actually how I was able to quit social media forever. You can go to podcastrebels.com/setters. 2, if you're a 6 or a 7-figure entrepreneur with a podcast, we actually want to interview you on one of our top 100 shows. Head to top100interview.com. And then 3, download our podcast closing formula. It shows you how to create a podcast sales team that books out your sales calendar each week using the podcast closing client attraction method. And you can go to podcastrebels.com/podcast formula. Now at podcastclosing.com, we help 6 and 7-figure entrepreneurs with podcasts create a system for predictable client acquisition without relying on paid advertising or social media by building out podcast sales teams. Now, if you want help turning your podcast into a high-ticket client acquisition machine, then book a call with our team to see how we can help. Go to podcastrebels.com/chat. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next interview.